High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 6:47. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. South Africa, as we know, has had a number of terrible and shameful xenophobic incidents over the last number of years. The South African government, are they enforcing immigration laws enough? And could the allegations of illegal permits spike xenophobic behavior again? Dr. Vusi Sibande, he's chairperson at the African Diaspora Global Network. He joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
So can you give us a sense of how much the immigration laws actually are being enforced?
Well, look, I think the immigration laws, quite enforced and sometimes over-enforced, I think, with a much stricter, hand. Because you will acknowledge that in terms of the SADC, protocol and agreement, people are allowed at least to come into South Africa for about 90 days where, in any given year, where, for example, they just get at the border without applying for a visa and they come into the country and say, look, I want to come in for 30 days or 10 days up to a cumulative total of 90 days in any given 1 year. But you will realize that a lot of these people, when they get to the border, they don't get to have a choice as to choose how they want to spend those 90 days. In fact, they sometimes have got to pay in order for them to get 30 days at one stage or to get any number of days that they want, because if they say they want 14 days, sometimes they're given 30 days at one go. And, that which works against them, because they are then squandering those days, the way that they want to spend them.
Does the, we see so much about and so much conflicting information around the causes of xenophobia here in South Africa. What do you think some of the root causes are?
Well, look, the attacks that are mainly, taking place in South Africa, I think that one of the biggest problems that we have, in fact, there could be two, but one of the biggest problems is obviously a scramble for resources, particularly, between black communities. And that is why we've got these serious attacks normally taking place, between black migrants or Asian migrants that are found within our communities. But this, I think, is mainly exacerbated by utterances that are made by leaders, like your political leaders, like what we had in Durban at some stage when the late King Goodwin Zwelithini, had some utterances that were quite unfortunate. And this also happened, when people like, Herman Mashaba and the others that, for example, in the Democratic Alliance have always spoken ill, about migrants in the country.
Isn't it a case of, I always think about a metaphor that if you've eaten to the full and you feel quite satisfied and somebody comes and sits at your table and starts taking some of the food but you've already eaten, you don't mind doing that. But if you are feeling hungry and you're feeling dissatisfied and there's only a little bit of food left there in front of you and somebody comes to ask you to share that, you might react quite badly. Isn't the whole xenophobic concerns in South Africa really just a diversion? I was making such an interesting point at that time. It is 6:51. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. We're chatting with Dr. Vusi Sibande, who is a chairperson at the African Diaspora Global Network. And the point that I was making is, surely it's Dr. Vusi Sibande, are you back with us?
Good morning. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the point that I was making is, surely the many of the xenophobic flare-ups that we have are almost a bit of a diversion, that if situations were better in South Africa, in other words, if people at your table had been able to eat and were satisfied, you would mind a lot less if somebody else came to your table to eat your food. So isn't it really about the way in which South Africans have been let down economically, certainly, by our own government and system?
Very true. I think that's why in the beginning I said some of the problems basically as a result of, the scramble for resources, because you will realize that those that normally fight and, you know, say these statements that show that there is less tolerance of migrant communities will always point to the fact that, you know, there is an adequate service delivery. You know, they'll point to the fact that, you know, they are always queuing in hospitals and there's a lot of migrants are in there, so they fail to get, you know, served because, you know, they have to share these services with migrants. And the fact that, you know, there aren't jobs in the country because these jobs are taken, you know, by migrant communities. So it all really has to do with the fact that, you know, it's actually a symptom of the fact that the economy is not really churning enough jobs and, you know, the government is not being efficient in providing services. So to that extent, you know, a lot of people are complaining that they are not receiving these particular services like housing. Remember the MSC, you know, of housing just before the 2019 elections when he said, you know, there are a lot of informal, you know, structures and they cannot build more houses because, you know, these houses have to be provided to, you know, migrants. And as a result, this is why they cannot provide adequate housing to South Africans. And that is the reason why we then see that a lot of people are very patchy when it comes to these migrants, because they actually buy these stories that they are the ones that are causing the failure by government to provide, you know, or to deliver service delivery that is up to scratch and standard.
And do you think that weakness or that natural tension is being exacerbated by some of our political leaders?
Indeed, it is. It is actually exacerbated by the political leaders. And in the majority of the cases, these are political leaders that are incapable, you know, of doing their work. And they are now trying to find a scapegoat, you know, something that they can hide behind. Now, you will also appreciate that the reason why we were saying that is, you know, if you look at the presence, you know, of migrants, particularly those that are documented, you know, one of the issues is, you know, knowing in the communities that, okay, you know, how many, you know, migrants are in this community so that people can know that how many schools are required. Because ultimately, one of the issues that we are forgetting to look at is always that these migrants that live in South Africa, whether they be illegal or not, they are contributing to, you know, or rather, let me say, not illegal, but rather irregular, because that is a term that is normal, is appropriate, because there is no person that is illegal, but they are irregular in the country, that they all contribute to the tax purse of the country. It is how that money is spent, because it's not only collected through pay and salaries, but it's collected when people buy food, when people buy clothes, when people use transport, and every person in South Africa, including the elderly, you know, do pay tax in one form or the other.
Absolutely.
So that money is collected.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because often the allegation is made, well, they come to South Africa, it's always they, and they don't pay tax. But in fact, of course you do. Anytime you buy anything, you're paying tax. Anytime you take a taxi, you're paying tax because of the tax on fuel. So of course it really does contribute, to society.
Indeed so. And if you see, so, but now, because our politicians don't have that understanding, or even if they do, but they are not capable of delivering, which is, you know, the fact that they are just appointing each other without that meritocratic, you know, appointment, you know, appointing people that have an understanding, but, you know, they appoint each other in these political offices because they are friends, or because somebody belongs to the party for this much, not looking at the capacity of that person to deliver, so they cannot deliver. And this is why we can see even in the local elections, you know, that, you know, ANC is getting, you know, is losing, because people are fed up of the fact that, you know, these politicians are not delivering, and that should be the issue that they should actually be looking at. You've seen the corruption, I mean, even in the president's office during the COVID, you know, food and all.
Absolutely.
That. And, yeah.
And also, I would imagine, and it's something that certainly has concerned many people for the last many, many years, is the fact that South Africa never got involved where they could in helping Zimbabweans, for example. So we turned a very, very cold and blind eye on the plight of Zimbabweans, and then are concerned when they have no alternatives but to come to South Africa to seek work on employment.
Very true. I think this is one of the biggest problems that we have. It's actually a generic, you know, African problem, in that today people, when they are being xenophobic, they will tell you that Zimbabweans must go back to their country to fix their country. They must go and fight. But if you tell people to go and fight, you're actually saying people must pick guns and go and fight. That's the best way, because if fighting in Zimbabwe means trying to challenge that government, which brutalizes and kills people, it means all the people must basically be killed. Yet we've got, you know, protocols like in the SADC and AU that talk about good governance, and South Africa, which has been chair of all these organs at one stage or the other, and recently in the AU, they have never blamed the bad governance and dictatorship that happens in these countries, which lead to people flocking into South Africa.
Why do you think that that is? Why do you think that that almost unwritten ground rule or unwritten policy exists? Surely if African countries hold each other and to a higher standard, that, you know, that's exactly what will happen.
Most definitely. If you look at the Africa Peer Review Mechanism that was introduced in about 2001, you know, by President Begi, you know, in the AU, if, you know, countries had to stick to that and not only do it informally, but ensure that they hold each other accountable to the manner in which they treat their people. We know that during the 2019 xenophobic attack, South Africa was almost being shunned and complained and pointed fingers at by countries like Nigeria, you know, Ghana and other countries, to the extent that the president had to send an envoy to try and speak to those people. Now, if the same kind of boisterous, you know, attacks were to be sent out when these countries, you know, have got sham elections, they rig elections and attack people, that would really help a lot in ensuring that, you know, the impunity with which they act towards their own citizens would not continue.
Absolutely. It's really a fascinating conversation, but one that is so nuanced and so multifaceted. It is about to go 7 o'clock. Dr. Vusi Sibanda, chairperson at the African Diaspora Global Network, thank you for joining us this morning.